healing being God's will for our life. Healing for our bodies, the redemption that happened at the cross. Thank God it was for our soul. Thank God we're going to heaven. Thank God for the forgiveness of sins. But at that same time, because God knew that our bodies would need mending and fixing, and that we live in a world where there are disease and struggle, that he also at that same time, the Bible says that Jesus carried our diseases. He bore our sicknesses. And what he bore for us, we don't have to bear. Aren't you glad? And that when Jesus was on the earth, he displayed God's will for all people, for all time. And Jesus lifted the burden of sickness from people that came in contact with him. People heard about him. They knew what he was like. They came to him in faith. And those sicknesses were broken. The Bible says over and over again in different circumstances where it says, and Jesus healed them all. Everyone who came to Jesus looking for healing, no one at any time was turned away. And last week we saw that if we're battling with a sickness or a disease, it is not a thorn in the flesh. All right. That's not what Paul was referring to. He wasn't talking about a disease. He was talking about a messenger of Satan. I would really encourage you to get the CD from last week. You can download it off the internet. And just perhaps some misunderstandings that people have had about the purpose of sickness. The purpose of sickness is from the enemy. It is not from the kingdom of God. God does not send it. Nor does he allow it. He heals it. Because he did that through Jesus Christ. Healing is the children's bread. Now, we can know, and if we look to the Word of God, and again, I ask you to keep those scriptures and keep those things before your eyes and in your heart. But we can know that something is God's will, but we can sometimes be confused as to how do I bring God's will into my life? How do I receive healing? All right. Now think about if you were, maybe you got a farm and you moved outside of Lusaka and you moved in. It's just bare land and you're going to build a house and you're going to farm and it's all going to be great. But then you realize, wait a second, there's no Lusaka water. I need water for the farm and I need water for my house. And so I know that is needed. It's my will, and I think it's God's will, but where do I get water? Where do I get water on just a piece of bare land? Anybody have any ideas? Where would you get the water? Pretty much everybody knows, right? You sink a borehole, right? Now I want to challenge you. There was a time in your life that you didn't think that water came from boreholes. You thought it came from a tap. You know, when you're 3 years old, where does water come from? It comes from my mommy. She brings it to me. But over time, through experience and understanding, and maybe you saw some things, or you saw a borehole being sunk or something like that, you realize, okay, at least in Zambia, we are so blessed that in so many places, there's water somewhere. And this time of the year, it's farther down than it used to be. If you're trying to sink a borehole, but you can make a plan and have that. Wouldn't it be sad if you moved to that farm and you were under the impression or someone told you water comes from rocks. And so all you need to do is get a bunch of rocks and then crush them, you know, like grapes, you know, you've seen it on TV and you just crush those rocks and the water will come out. Now, if you believe that is how you get water, how many of you know you're going to get pretty frustrated? You're going to get frustrated because, man, you're buying rocks and you're crushing rocks and nothing is happening. And you may conclude, because no water is coming out, I guess God doesn't want me to have water. I guess it's not his will for me to have water because what I'm doing is not working. Well, it's not a matter of his will. It's a matter of you're going about it the wrong way. And it seems in today that there are a lot of folks that are looking for healing through methods that God didn't put in his word. And so they're crushing rocks and they're getting frustrated And sometimes they even give up on God. But we want to look very simply today at some of the ways, because there's so many, but some of the ways and some of the primary ways that God delivers healing, that he brings it into our life, that we can see it from a biblical perspective. Because if we see this is the way that God does it, then I'm going to do it God's way, and I'm going to avoid the frustration of trying to crush rocks, of trying to use methods that God didn't put in his word. All right. So in general, when we look at the New Testament, there's one area where God brings healing where it seems as though he initiates it. All right. Where God is moving, God is doing, and we want to look at that. But then secondly, when we look at the New Testament, there's a whole bunch of places and ways in which we initiate it. Now, how many of you know God is the one who heals? All right. Man doesn't heal. A pastor, a prophet, an apostle, an archbishop, a major prophet, minor evangelist. None of those people heal. God is the healer. Okay. So whatever method he is using, all right, it's God is at the end of that method. All right. He is the one who brings healing. All right. So the gifts of the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. All right. So the gifts of the Spirit are a wonderful, wonderful thing. And folks, this is one of the reasons why from time to time you'll notice at Miracle Life, we say, hey, if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that's for you. And one of the reasons is it's not just to bless your life, but that God can use you in great ways. All right. These supernatural gifts that he has given to the body come through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit being involved in people's lives. And this happens through the endowment of the Holy Spirit coming upon your life. Now, the manifestation or God working in these gifts, let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Okay, so when these gifts are in operation, it's not for the benefit of the one being used. It's for the benefit of the one receiving. You know, so if you're saying, oh God, man, Lord, use me in miracles because I want to show my cousin how awesome I am. Well, that is a bad reason. It's an unbiblical reason, and then God won't answer that. All right. But we need to desire for the gifts of the Spirit to be operating in our life. Why? Because they deliver God's purposes to hurting people, to people who are struggling. All right. People who need what those gifts are going to bring. All right. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. So, right, he works these things, not us. Distributing to each one individually, and notice this, as he wills. Okay? As he wills. So these gifts are distributed and they are in operation as he wills. So thank God for the gifts of healings. And there where God anoints certain people and uses those gifts where, you know, it seems like God just uses them in special ways for maybe certain types of sicknesses or situation, working of miracles. And that certainly can include a healing. All right. Or a healing, you know, works of healings where as the body is healing itself, it supernaturally happens from God. All right. But here's the thing. How do those gifts work? As he wills. All right. So you and I can't turn them off or on. Okay. But I will say it is wise to be around where those gifts are in operation. All right. And boy, I tell you what, I love the Word of God. I love the wisdom of God. But I am so thankful for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that have ministered to my life. where you just feel like, Lord, I'm not sure what to do. And one word from God, someone speaks a word of wisdom about the future and boom, it's done. Oh, that was so helpful. Now, we need those gifts in operation. So again, that's one of the reasons you need to come out next Sunday night. Those gifts will be in operation. For what? For the benefit, for the profit of everybody, for the body of Christ. All right? So, we are to desire these gifts. We are to reverence the Holy Spirit. But we have to be aware that He distributes this as He will. All right? Let's look at an example in the book of Acts of the working of miracles. All right? Acts 5:12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, so that the Lord brought, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. And a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. And they were all healed. All right. So Peter's shadow, Peter's presence, all right, it, when Peter would walk by, the power of God, the anointing of God, people would be healed. Isn't that awesome? And you say, man, I'd like that. That's as the Spirit wills. Okay. In fact, we only see it in this instance. Okay. And one of the things that we have to be careful about doing is we can't make a doctrine out of an experience. Even if it's an experience that happened one time in the Bible. Okay. We can't make a doctrine out of that. But thank God we can expect for miracles to happen to us and through us. Okay. And at different times of church history, we see where God would anoint so many different people. And there was just in the last century, there was for about 20 years, there was just a healing revival. And so many people God was using in that way. All right. A wonderful, wonderful thing. But that is, Brother Hagin used to say this all the time. One way, but not the only way that God heals is, and he would lay hands on people. And so one way that God heals is through the gifts of the Spirit. All right. But again, one of the things we have to be aware of is that there's a certain element to the gifts that we do not initiate. All right. Now we can certainly cooperate. And even the people that came to Peter, how many of you know those people brought them? They brought them in faith. So there was an element of faith, but then God was doing these extraordinary miracles. All right. Now, there is another way to receive healing, all right, where we initiate the healing. Now, again, we don't make it happen. We don't convince God to do it, all right, but we are the ones who take a step, all right. We are the ones who make the initiative for that to happen. All right. So one of the ways that God heals with our initiative is through other people, not necessarily the gifts of the Spirit. All right. But people in our lives. Let's look at an example. Acts 14 and verse 8. Acts 14 and verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Everybody say, he heard. Faith comes by. All right. So this man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Notice it wasn't Paul's faith. Do you see that? Paul became aware. Now, it is possible, we don't really see how he became aware. He saw something. It could have been through a word of knowledge that God supernaturally showed him. Or maybe there was some physical thing that, you know, I don't know, maybe the guy was doing something. We don't know. All right. But Paul became aware that that man had faith to be healed, and he helped him. All right. And he said, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. So the faith was present in that man's heart, but he wasn't yet acting on his faith. And so Paul said, hey, act on what's in your heart. And he did. And what happened? A healing took place. A miracle took place. Do you see that? But it happened with another person. All right. So that man had faith in his heart, but can you see how Paul cooperated with God, cooperated with that man for that healing to take place? And so thank God for the body of Christ. Amen. We don't need to do things by ourselves alone. Okay. I'll just for my own life, the worst things that happen to me is when I'm by myself. And some people get in trouble with their friends. I've got great friends. I get in trouble by myself when I make decisions without other people. All right. If I'm sad or lonely or depressed and I don't tap into the love and grace that's in other people. All right. And so here was this man, had faith in his heart, but wasn't acting on it. Paul helped him. Now, I think it's very interesting that Paul perceived that he had faith. He heard Paul preaching. I guess Paul's preaching was good, eh? Paul's preaching had an element that brought faith into his heart. All right. So there was faith that was present. Something we've talked about here from time to time at Miracle Life. Another way to receive healing is through the Lord's Supper, communion. All right. Communion was given to the body of Christ so that we might remember, meaning that we could what? We could forget. Remember, David said in Psalm 103, don't forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. So it is possible that while that is available and it is has been given to us, we're not walking in the reality of it. And so communion is a time where we remember. It is a place where we can receive. All right. Now, in the text in 1 Corinthians 11 that talks about communion, one of the things it says is that when we don't receive communion with the right heart, okay, not necessarily the right structure or but because we don't have real specific ways in the Bible to receive communion. But when our heart's not right, the Bible says that as a result, it says that many are sick among you and many are dying early. Okay. Now, so that's receiving communion without the right heart. Now, what if I believe very, very biblically that the opposite is true. Receive communion with the right heart. Receive communion with the right presence and looking to God. What happens? Many of you are healed and many of you live a long, long life. Amen. So healing can be received during communion. And that's why at Miracle Life, whenever we do that, we always ask you, receive what God has for you right now. God is here to bring that into your life. And so let's recognize the body of Christ. Let's discern the body of Christ and we can walk in healing during that time. James chapter 5, another way that we receive healing, again, this is being connected to other people, is through your local church. Through your local church. Oh my, it's so important to be part of a local church. I know membership is coming up. I think it's already closed, so that's not... If you're not a member, you can't be at the next one. Sorry about that. But we need to be a part of a local church. All right. And I understand Miracle Life is not everyone's cup of tea. But find a local church. Join it. Be committed. All right. Be connected to the spiritual authority that is in that place. James 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So notice that it says, is anyone in the church sick? Let the sick person call for the elders. All right. Our interpretation of the Bible, when you see the word elder in the New Testament, it is speaking of a pastor. All right. It is speaking of the role of what we refer to as a pastor. Okay. It's not just a really godly businessman. Okay. Or woman. Okay. And believe you me, we need a lot more godly businessmen and women at Miracle Life. All right. So there's lots of places for you. So let them call. It doesn't say let the pastors discern the sickness in everybody's life. It doesn't say let the pastors continually be monitoring Facebook to see who's sick. Let him call. And today it's easier to call than it was 2,000 years ago. Because you can literally call. All right? And so it says, let them call. So the person who is sick is raising up their hand saying, I need prayer. I'd like the leaders of my church to pray for me. Okay? And it says in this instance, and thank God for this, it says that the elders can anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Notice it's not the oil that saves the sick, it's the prayer of faith. Oil without the prayer of faith is just greasy, okay? There's no benefit to it, all right? So the prayer of faith, looking to Jesus, in the name of Jesus, all right? In fact, in the New Testament, what we see is there is no power in the oil itself, all right? It says to anoint them with oil. Now, in those days, people were kind of used to that word anoint. It didn't always necessarily just have a spiritual connotation, but you would anoint your goat or your sheep to keep the flies out of their eyes and their nose. And so you would put oil on their head. Remember, Jesus went to somebody's house and said, you didn't anoint me. So it was something that you would do for a visitor. All right. It was a refreshing thing. Okay. It was an act. So anoint them with oil. Notice what it doesn't say. Give them the anointed oil. It says anoint them with oil. What kind of oil? Any oil. The oil is not anointed. The oil has no power. No one on planet Earth has the ability to go, all right, there you go. Now, I have transferred my anointing into the oil. It is unbiblical. There is no scriptural precedent for that in any way, oil or water. Well, Pastor, it's okay. You know, I'm worried about where my kids are going to school, but I'm having them drink the anointed water. Well, there's no benefit because there's no anointing in the water. Now, somebody may have told you that, but there's no anointing in it. I was so saddened the other day, and I wish I didn't have to tell you true stories. All right, but I wish these were fictional, because it would be not as sad. But somebody here in our town that, you know, they were sick and they're desperate, and unfortunately, seemingly fairly biblically illiterate, okay, as far as how God brings healing into their life. And so they sell property and they do all these things and raise up all this money to go to Lagos. And they wait 2 weeks to see a certain prophet. Spend all kinds of money. Because the prophet has the anointing. The prophet has the healing. Well, do you go to a church that believes in healing? Call the elders of the church. They'll anoint you with oil. Prayer of faith will save the sick. You don't have to go to Lagos. They waited 2 weeks. The prophet never saw them. And at the end of the 2 weeks, they had, you know what they were offered? To buy anointed oil and take it back to Lusaka. Very sad. Very sad. Now, it's unbiblical. It's sad. But when you start charging money for supposed anointed oil and water, that's not just sad. That's evil. That is evil. That is taking advantage of desperate people. And unfortunately, we have a kind of a a perfect storm right now of very desperate, unbiblically learned people, but are desperate, and supposed men and women of God who are also unbiblical, but also greedy for money. Remember in the book of Acts, Simon the sorcerer came and said, how can I buy that anointing? How can I buy that power? The apostle in the Message Bible says, to hell with you and your money. Okay? So, somebody tries to sell you anointed water or oil, you can quote a Bible verse. You can quote a Bible verse and say, excuse me, sir, to hell with you and your money. Yeah. Oh, but Pastor, that's rude. No. It's the Bible. It's good. As long as it's the Bible, we're all good. All right. So, but thank God you can call for spiritual leaders. Now, and they'll come and we'll pray. And what will pray the prayer of faith, and God will raise up the sick. Amen. But what that means is you have to be in a place where there are spiritual leaders. Okay? And you have to say, hey, this is my church. And again, if Miracle Life isn't your church, or if you've been here for, 10 years and you're thinking, I don't really like this church anymore, it's okay. We love you. If you're looking for another church, I can advise you on about 100 other great ones in our city. All right? But don't stay here not respecting spiritual leadership. Why? Because you're not going to receive the benefits that are here. Because you're not going to call Pastor Walker if he's stupid. Right? I tell you, he blah, 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 blah. Wow, there's benefits. There's benefits that can happen in your life that aren't going to happen in your life. So go find a man of God, a woman of God that you can respect. Amen? And I can help you find him if you need to. All right. Another way to receive healing, and in general, is we receive it by faith in Jesus, faith in his word. All right. Look at Mark chapter 11. So Jesus was with his disciples, and they walked by a fig tree. Jesus said, no one will eat from you again. They went to Jerusalem, came back, and Peter was like, man, Jesus, look what you did, Jesus. The tree is now dead based on what you said. And the cool thing about when they're having this conversation, Jesus didn't say, yeah, I know, Peter. I'm Jesus. That's what I do. It is really awesome to be me. Okay. Like a superhero kind of thing. And no, this is what he said. Mark 11, 22. He answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever, everybody say whoever. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He will have whatever he says. Well, Pastor, this is awesome. And I'm just waiting for the prophet to declare it over my life. I'm just waiting for his next Facebook post. And then I type in amen, and then it happens. No. You will have whatever you say. Your mountain needs to hear your voice. Not the voice of the prophet. Not the voice of your pastor. Not even the voice of your best friend. Your mountain needs to hear your voice. And sickness can seem like a mountain, can it? What are you saying to your mountain? Now that's a big mountain. Whew, doctor, did you see? Yeah, that terrible mountain. Mountain. Oh, I think it's got 2 years left in my mountain. No. Let your mountain hear the word of God. Body, you are healed in Jesus' name. I went to bed last night with a terrible headache. Woke up this morning with a terrible headache. And I'm thinking, and I'm preaching on healing. This is hilarious, all right? Well, my wife is with the ladies there at Kindle the Flame, so I'm at home. So what, you know what? I just make this my practice sometime. Head, you be normal in Jesus' name. Every blood vessel. And by the time I got to church, it's all cool. It's all good. No pain at all. All right. Speak to your mountain. Amen. Don't buy anointed water. Speak to your mountain. All right. You don't have to fly to Lagos. Speak to your mountain. Have faith in God. All right. So verse 23 is about speaking. Now, what do we say? We say what God says. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I am the healed of the Lord. He himself took my infirmities and carried away my diseases. That's mountain. Do you hear that? I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking the word of the Lord. Do you see that? All right. The next verse is wonderful as well. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Ooh, aren't you glad for that? So verse 23 is about speaking words of life, speaking words of life into your own life and the mountains that are in our way, which can include sickness and disease, those things that seem to intimidate us. Verse 24 is not about speaking. It's about praying. It's about asking our Father. Jesus said elsewhere in John, he said, in this day, the day that we live in, he said in that day, but it's this day now. He said, in this day, you won't ask anything from me. You'll ask the Father in my name, by his authority. And so when we pray and we say in Jesus' name, amen, that's not just a good closing to a prayer. All right. It's the way that our prayer is heard. It's the way, it's the authority by which we ask God, I'm coming in Jesus. I'm not coming in Walker's name. That's not a great name, but I'm coming in Jesus' name. I'm coming by the one who died for me and who took my shame and my curse and who destroyed the works of the devil for my life. And I'm coming in that name. Oh, all of heaven stands at attention at that name. Not your name, not the name of your papa, the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So notice this let's look at an example, I believe, of this happening. Matthew chapter 8. This is such an outstanding example. And this is an attitude that we can have. All right. This account that I'm about to tell you here from the Word. Jesus, at the end of this, he said, wow, that is great faith. All right, so there's a component of what we can understand. Matthew 8, verse 5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion, this is a Roman, not a Jew, but a Roman, came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. What did Jesus say? I will. All right, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. He wasn't bragging on the Jews at that point, right? And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. So the centurion had faith in what Jesus said. Now, does God use the laying on of hands for healing? Absolutely, he sure does. Should we call the elders of the church? We can know it with those. Absolutely, that's a good way. But this guy said, you know what? All I need is your word. All I need is for you to say it's done, and it's done. Because the way I live, when I say something, it happens. And if you say something, it happens. So you and I, and thank God for all the different ways that God heals, but we can have faith in the words of Jesus. We can have faith in the words of God. Well, Pastor, man, this would be so awesome. Yeah, I wish I could have a conversation with Jesus and he says, I'll do it. Friend, he already did. And he wrote it down. Amen? He said, surely I took away your sickness and disease. And by the stripes of Jesus, by my stripes, you are healed. We have his word. We have his promise. And so we can say, you know what? Jesus, you said it. That's all I need. I believe and I receive based on what you said. Amen. Amen. And so, and just in the same thing, what was told to the centurion, as you have believed, so it will be for you. But again, you need to be very, very certain about what Jesus said. Amen. Now let's look at one more instance here, and one more instance, then we'll close. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now, what I would commend to you is that I do believe there will be times where God will lead you. You'll have a prompting or an urging from the Lord. So God has different ways that he heals, and he uses those ways. But God may know something about the situation that you don't know about. God may know something about the person that you don't know about. And we've had many instances where, where people will invite somebody to church, and we know there's going to be a healing atmosphere, and they just feel the prompting. Hey, invite that person. And they get, and God touches their life. They get healed. Good friend of mine, his son was born with autism, completely not fixable by medical science. And he and his wife were standing in prayer. He and his wife were looking to the Lord, and God led them, say, and Brother Hagen was alive at the time and said, have Brother Hagen lay hands on your son. And so they went to a meeting. Brother Hagen laid hands on his son. And 1 year later, when this boy was about 5 years old, completely 100% healed of autism. He is a senior at Columbia University in New York City. He doesn't have autism. He's rocking the world and loving Jesus, and it's amazing what God will. So sometimes God may just prompt you, hey, come to church and have people pray for you. Hey, when you go to connection group, have the body of Christ lay hands on you. Bring this to them. And so don't ever separate. We've got the principles of God, but God will many, many times gives us specific leading within his word. Now, he won't lead you to get anointed water because there's no such thing. He never leads you outside of his word. Right? Well, you know, I've been married for 24 years and I just feel a leading towards another woman. Yeah, you do feel something, okay, but it is not the Holy Spirit, because he does not lead you outside of his stated written word. God's not confused, okay? So we have to be aware of what's in his word and, in a sense, what is within the will of God, but allow him to lead you. It's a wonderful thing. John 5, all right. After there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, there was a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Isn't that awesome? All right. So under the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, all right. And even before even Jesus got in on the scene, God, through an angel, was delivering healing. This is a gift of the Spirit. This is a working of miracles, isn't it? All right. So thank God for that. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Whew, that's a long time. Some of you aren't even 38. All right. This man was sick for that long. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been there in that condition a long time. And he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." You see, he had a mindset, and it was based on reality, actually, that I need someone to help me to get this miracle. And if there's no man, then I can't do this. But did you notice that's not what Jesus asked him? Did Jesus ask him, "Do you have a man? Do you need somebody to help you?" No, he asked him, "What do you want?" What did Jesus say in Mark 11:24? "Whatsoever things you desire when you pray." Do you have a desire? Do you have a will? Use it. All right? So Jesus said, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. He didn't need a man. He needed Jesus. And Jesus comes to you today and says, "What do you want?" If it's within my will, and it is, healing is the children's bread, then he is here to deliver that and to give that to you. Isn't he a wonderful Jesus? Amen. Aren't you glad for angels that deliver the healing power of God? I don't know from the Bible, but I wonder if angels change their job descriptions over the years. Or maybe this is a healing angel and he's still delivering healing to the earth. I don't know. Not sure. Jesus is a healer and he loves you and he heals you and he has biblical methods and ways for that to come into your life. And thank God there isn't just one way, but there are many biblical ways for us to receive healing. And so I want you to be aware of these as you go through life, as you raise up your kids, lay hands on your own kids, rebuke sickness. Don't allow it in your family. Amen. Teach your kids to trust God. Let them know, thank God for doctors. And we go to the doctors, we get the limited amount of help that they can give us. But thank God we look to the great physician. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. And Father, we thank you so much that healing is not something that we have to beg from you, God. You sovereignly chose when Jesus died, when you gave us our redemption, you sovereignly chose to provide that for us. Lord, we didn't petition you for it. You gave it to us. And Father, we're so grateful that from your word, we see examples in the New Testament and instructions in the New Testament of how we can receive healing. Father, thank you so much that you've made these avenues, Father, for us to be touched and for us to be helped and to be whole. Father, we thank you for that for our own life. But Father, we also see that, Lord, you use other people to bring healing. And Father, may we be those other people. Father, may we be the ones, Father, that lay hands on the sick. May we be the ones who help instruct and help people to act on their faith. Lord, may we be the one in our family, in our neighborhood, Lord, in our circle of friends, Lord, that people know, man, if I could just go see them, I know that Jesus will heal me. I know that if I can pray with them, God's going to come through in my life. Father, Lord, send us like never before to, Lord, to such a broken world. Lord, a world of suffering. And Father, thank you that you anoint us, you empower us in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just while we're praying right now, Mark, Brighton, Adrian, Richard, you guys, just come right here. These are members of our care team. Pastor William, Pastor Benjamin. Thank you, Lord. You can go this way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we love you. I need some ushers to help. You guys come with me. Come with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. New anointing. Just lay hands on. New anointing in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, as they pray for the sick, Father, we thank you that the power of God, Father, the name of Jesus, Oh, Father, and they'll know like Peter. It's not by me. It's not by my strength, but it's the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for anointing them. They're an extension of this church, Father. They're an extension of the ministry of Jesus. Oh, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. Working of miracles in Jesus' name. A tangible anointing in your hands. Oh, you'll feel it. You feel it sometimes, don't you? Yeah, you do. That's going to get stronger. It's going to be more normal, Mark. It's going to be more normal. You're going to feel that. And it's the power of God. It's not you. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid of it. It's not for you. It's for those people. So you lay hands. You lay hands and you release that anointing that will break the yoke. That will break the yoke. Oh, I'm telling you, Mark, things that you've seen in others, it's going to be a normal part of your life. Yeah. It's going to be a normal part of your life. You'll watch. You'll see it. Oh, thank you, Father. And Lord, use this compassion. Oh, Father, this deep, deep, deep compassion, Father, for the broken and the hurting, Father. We thank you, Father. He's in the right place at the right time, in Jesus' name. It'll be a normal part. It'll be a normal part of your calling. So don't ever forget that. As you take steps and as you walk, pray. Believe God. Yeah. Where God sends you, there'll be miracles. Miracles. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, we thank you. Extension. Oh, an extension. The healing of this house. Oh, Father. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Anointed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You stay as long as you, if you feel like the Lord's ministering, you just stay up there as long as you want. Thank you, Father. Oh, isn't Jesus wonderful? Isn't he so good? Well, God wants to minister to a few other folks today. Let's just bow our heads. If you're here in this place, we've been seeing the healing nature of Jesus, that he loves to fix broken lives, broken bodies. Maybe you're here in this place and you say, Pastor, there's another part of my life that's broken, and it's my soul. I don't know Jesus. I'm not connected to him. And friend, the problems in your life and the struggles that you're having, boy, it's not wisdom that can get you out. It's Jesus. You need to be in his family. You need to be a part of his kingdom. And that happens when you trust him, when you believe him, when you confess with your mouth, and you can do that today. Maybe you're like the prodigal son and you're far away from your father's house. There's sin and rebellion, but you today are saying, I am coming home. I don't want to stay this way. I don't want to be in this situation any longer. I'm coming home to my Father today. I'd love to be able to pray with you. And wherever you are right now, you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, but I want to. I'm not born again, but today is my day. I'm coming home as a backslider. Wherever you are right now, simply lift up your hand. Just lift it up and wave it at me and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to pray that prayer. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? Over here, thank you. Wonderful. Over there, yeah, in the back. Anyone else? Thank you. All right. Let's all stand to our feet. Everyone in the congregation. We're going to be going here just briefly, but let's just honor what God is doing. Those of you that lifted up your hand, what I'd like you to do is just grab your handbag, whatever you brought with you to church, your Bible. Just come and meet me up front. You're stepping out of your old life and you're stepping into a brand new life with Jesus. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap. Over here, over there. Fantastic. Wonderful. Oh, he loves you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much, man. Wonderful. He's so good. He's so merciful. He's so kind. You just come right over here. So glad that you're making this decision today. Now, if I wanted to give you this Bible as a gift, how would you get it? Right? You would just reach out. Okay? And so what God has for you is His mercy, His forgiveness, His new life. It is a free gift. And so you cannot earn it, but we receive that by faith, by faith. All right. So I'd ask you just to lift up one of your hands right now. Just lift it up to the Lord and ask you to pray this prayer with me right now and say, God, I believe that you love me. You sent Jesus Christ to die in my place. Today, I give him my heart. I give him my whole life. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you that you forgive me. I turn away from every sin, from every wrong thing. I follow you now, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in your family. I belong to you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. What a great day. What a great day. Now, we'd ask you right now, Kathy here, she's got a Bible. We're just going to go to a place of prayer. We'd like to give you a book. Just connect with you personally if there's anything you'd like prayer about. But if you just follow Kathy right now through those doors, we would so appreciate it. Thank you so very much. Wonderful Jesus. Now, as we said this morning, one way, not the only way, but one way God heals is through the laying on of hands. And so if you're sick in this place, we've got a care team up front. They will be happy and love to have the opportunity to lay hands on a body that needs healing. But maybe there's another issue in your life where you'd like prayer about. And they'll pray the prayer of agreement based on God's word for whatever you're facing. And so you don't have to leave here struggling. You don't have to leave here suffering. God has an answer for you. Amen. All right. So next Sunday, come early, stay late, bring a friend on Sunday night. I do want to say this, and I know we're running late, but our founding pastor, Pastor Newberry, was here for 6 years. Pastor Haley and I have been here for now, I think, 11 years. But boy, I tell you, he and his wife, Pastor Newberry and his wife and his daughter, they did so much of the heavy lifting to get this church started. And, oh my goodness, the sacrifice that they made and the love that they showed. And, you know, the church was just growing. It was just growing financially as well. And, you know, when Pastor Newberry left, the salary that he was receiving from Miracle Life, today we have secretaries that make more than he was making as the senior pastor. Okay. And so he was not in it for the money at all. And he laid down his life. But at the same time, some of you in your situation, your business and where you are financially, you know it's the Lord. You know it's the Lord. And I'm asking you to consider to bring a special offering to bless Pastor Newberry. All right. Not to pay for his services or whatever, but just to honor his love and his service to this church. All right. And he's in some of the last laps of his ministry, traveling all over the world. And I believe that where he sacrificed, I believe it would be very, very godly for us to say thank you financially in a special way. So, well, Pastor, what do you mean by special? You ask God what special means to you. Okay. And let it be something special. Is that all right? I believe that would really, really honor the Lord. And so be prepared next week for that. All right, Father, we love you so much. Lord, we bless you for your goodness, for your working in our life. Father, thank you that you have a good plan. And Lord, it's coming to pass as we trust you, as we walk with you.